Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his notes, news. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul. That's what it is. You can find it there. TotallyIowa.com. iWatch.org is the public service show that he does. And, of course, you can listen to him on KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And Jeff Stein joining us. Hi, Jeff.
You'll cut that out when we actually air this segment, right?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, it's a live show. You might as well just take it as it goes. We were stuttering like Kavanaugh there for a second. Thank you.
So are you saying that it gets cold in Minnesota in the winter? Make sure I understand.
News alert. Get Edward R. in here. It is a news alert. It is. Well, we have this, and I don't know how much coverage has been down there. We have this growing homeless community over on Hiawatha and Cedar Avenue, and I will give Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, and the city council kudos. They're trying to find a solution here, and they're trying to find a place they can move the homeless so that they're not going to be out exposed to the weather, and they can have health checks and stuff like that. But like it says, when you're dealing with an issue like this, there's always going to be a lot of tough choices, and I'm kind of imploring them, you have to make these tough choices because you can't just ignore this problem, not with winter coming.
You can't ignore the problem. But people insist on ignoring the problem. And look at the situation where you used to live in Ames, Iowa. Mm-hmm. The story of the collegiate golfer who was killed by a homeless man who came from the homeless encampment just off the golf course. Those facts, the fact that he was homeless, the man who has been charged with first-degree murder and where he lived, that's not in dispute. And he may even have admitted to the killing. But the point of it is, there were more people in Ames who said, well, we don't have a homeless encampment in Ames. What are you talking about? It was the thing that everyone ignored because it wasn't polite and pleasant. And at least now, heaven forbid, because of this reason, but because they now at least know this exists. Mm-hmm. You know, good common folks who have tried to ignore it or maybe just out of blissful ignorance didn't know. Well, now they understand there is not just an issue in homeless people, but a problem because of the inability of some of these people to care for themselves. And as a good society, we need to do something.
Absolutely.
And it took a murder for them to see this. And so, again, common issue, and everyone just needs the information.
And regardless of where you live, you know, this is considered to be usually an issue that's a major metropolitan issue. It's not. There are homeless people everywhere, small towns, big cities. It is something that if we don't have an aggressive plan, and I got to give, did you ever read that story out of Salt Lake City? They're giving the small apartments to the homeless and actually having a tremendous success ratio there. And it was actually far more cost efficient.
Well, what do you know? Proactively taking care of something. I mean, it's the same problem that we've had, not to open this can of worms, with healthcare. Preventive maintenance and tests, if they had been covered by past insurance, would have led to not only people being healthier, but for the system being far more solvent because we were able to do detection early of things as opposed to treating them after the fact.
Amen. Absolutely. Let's get in. We got a mess to get into here. We have to get into with the Kavanaugh stuff. All right. Mm-hmm. Here is the problem that the Republicans and Grassley himself are creating for themselves is that the implication that either one of any of these allegations, the Dr. Ford, the Deborah Ramirez and the Julia Swetnick. Allegation today, which through Avenatti, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, that all of them, they're not only saying that this stuff happened, but in the case of Ramirez, this apparently was a well-known story for years, and she didn't come forward until she was encouraged to come forward by people who knew about the story. They're not returning her phone calls. The Avenatti has said, I believe, I'm not mistaken, didn't he come out with a signed declaration from Swetnick? So basically, she's going on legal terms that this did happen.
But now, who's not returning her calls?
The GOP, the Senate GOP, are refusing to return Ramirez's calls. Her lawyer was on, I think it was MSNBC this morning, stating that they have tried to get in touch with the Senate GOP, specifically the Judiciary Committee, and they will not return any of their calls.
Okay, well, I think there is the update. And it was, we will invest. Here's what I have heard. All right. After Avenatti made his declaration, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Grassley, open the door to continuing the hearing set for tomorrow, or indicating that they might meet tomorrow to talk about Dr. Ford's allegations, but that that might not be the end of it, and said specifically that they were reaching out to hear the story. And so it may have it may have been a stupid protocol sort of thing, like you have to formally, I don't know, I don't want to say, but here's what is true. What is true is now Grassley is getting all sort of static for saying, okay, we may have to continue this beyond Thursday, and saying very publicly that they are going to hear what this new person has to say. And there was another Republican, and now I don't recall who said, I don't care who the attorney is representing her. We need to hear, you know, in other words, you can't dismiss it because it's Avenatti and because he's been demonized by those on the right, who is actually saying we need to hear this. And so it is a situation, and you know, I said this last week, Merrick Garland should have had a hearing.
Yes.
Half of what the GOP is getting now in terms of any gamesmanship by Democrats, not victims, be very clear. They brought it on themselves by the gamesmanship of 2 years ago.
Well, okay. And can we stop on that? Because I want to just bring this point up. You are right. And Jeff has been the only person bringing up the point that really the threats of the nuclear option were one thing. To basically do what they did with Merrick Garland was wrong. But then this new standard that they are putting forward with Kavanaugh, that they're not releasing all of his documentation, that they are limiting the scope of the investigations into his background, they're limiting the questions, they're limiting the time, and then when you have credible witnesses, I mean, Dr. Ford is a credible witness, and there is definitely enough, I mean, 4 sworn affidavits on her case alone that basically back up her story. There is a credible witness. When you get to the point where when credible witnesses are saying, I would like my time in to speak to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and regardless of where they're at now, to go through this dog and pony show of, no, we're not going to do it, just we're going to vote on Friday no matter what. And I think this is bad standard here.
Okay, but now the Friday thing. I don't disagree with very much of what you said, but here is one thing, and I'll call it stupid Senate rules. Okay, it's not a technical legal phrase. Stupid Senate rules. There has to be a certain day's notice before there's a vote. Now there has been, and I frankly think that this is wishful thinking whipped up by folks on the right. But let's just play this out. There are a lot of people who say, you know, I don't think she's going to show up. She isn't going to show up. She's talking about all of these demands that she had. Whatever. So what they're thinking is, if they set the vote that way, let's say she decides not to show up for whatever reason, she does not testify, then they can say, okay, we've been played, here's the vote. And they had to give a certain number of days notice. There is no way on earth there will be a vote Friday unless, and I don't expect this, one of two things happens. One, she does not show up to testify, and even then, I still think there won't be a vote. Or if she shows up and is not in any way credible, and he is, then maybe there will be a vote. The Friday thing was just the stunt to make sure that there wasn't another delay. But in terms of these people who so again, you know, we're pretty much in sync on this. I think the individuals who are coming forward need to be heard, and they need to be heard in the proper forum and time frame and everything else. I don't want to hear a thing about it was 37 years ago. Anyone who has studied victimization for 5 minutes will tell you that people who are subjected to a traumatic event in their lives report at different times for different reasons, and it's not vindictiveness. And the fact that, and again, it looks bad because of what some of the Democrats have been doing. But again, who started it?
Well, it looks right. Bad. It does look bad, though, because she's coming forward. She's coming forward as he's being nominated as the Supreme Court justice. So it's easy to blame it as, oh, it's the spotlight. She's just basically bringing this up now. Well, of course she's bringing this up now. She doesn't want to see a guy on the Supreme Court.
And that's the whole point. Exactly. No, I don't disagree a bit. And for again, it looks like it's a choreographed deal for one person to come up at the last minute, and then they delay a little bit for a hearing, and then another, and then there's a delay, and a third. Okay, that does look hinky because of some of the people who are taking advantage of these victims. And that is double victimization, so that's a pox on all your houses thing. But as far as the women are concerned, the fact that number two and number three come forward after number one does, not only does not mean necessarily that it's a conspiracy, it may in fact prove the fact that victims only feel emboldened enough to take back their power when someone starts it. Mm-hmm. And so if in fact Dr. Ford is accurate in what she believes happened, as in she was assaulted by Kavanaugh, and again, I qualify because I haven't heard any of firsthand testimony. Okay, so I'm just qualifying. If everything she says is true, well, it should not be any surprise that someone else hearing that story could say, you know what, that happened to me, or something similar happened to me, or a third thing happened. Now, I am not saying that I automatically believe any of them, but what I am saying is, you cannot simply dismiss it, as I've heard some do, by saying, well, why didn't they come forward sooner?
Or she's a drunk in regards to Ramirez. I mean, the narrative is, oh, she was a drunk, so this doesn't count. I mean, that's a really bad attempt at dismissing.
Well, what it is doing is suggesting that people are not responsible for their actions. And to simply say, she got drunk, and any she, I'm not being specific here. She got drunk, so it's her fault. Or he got drunk, therefore he's not responsible. You cannot play that game.
Nope.
And so the one thing I'll say about my neighbor down the street, Grassley, I mean, he lives a county away. He's my neighbor down the street. I truly believe that the Merrick Garland situation was out of character for him. I think I told you on the air he would get a hearing because Grassley was a fair individual. I still believe him to be. Is he a partisan? Yes, he is. But I also believe he has a sense of decency and fairness. I also believe that he is being so careful on this because he has daughters and granddaughters and great-granddaughters, and he is, I think, generally a decent human being, although you may disagree with his political feelings. And so the people on the right are just killing him. You know, I mean, you hear these people who say, hey, he's 85 years old, he can't do any of this, et cetera, et cetera. Just because he's not rushing to have a vote before hearings doesn't mean that he's the horrible person. I mean, this, I don't know. I think last week I said the Democrats had totally just run rings around the Republicans from a political standpoint in terms of the timing. And again, that has nothing to do with the credibility of the allegations, just about the political timing. Okay, so if in fact the Republicans got played, what do? And to me, the only thing you can do is say, okay, you got us on this one, so now let's do the hearings. He's already not going to be there for the first Monday of October, and now let's just see how this plays out. But here's one thing that I think we are missing, in addition to the victimization of these women, double victimization, is the fact that there are allegations. You first have to hear the allegations and determine if they're credible. Then you have to determine if he was the one involved. That's part of the credible, right? So let's say you determine that every one of these allegations, even one of the three, I'll give you a 333 batting average. One of the three is credible and he's involved. Is that a disqualifier? That's the second point. But we are so far from either of those. And that's why I want to hear a hearing tomorrow. I want there to be a hearing tomorrow on at least one of these three, and we see what we have.
And if they go after her too harshly, this is a minefield for the Republicans in regards to just there's very few ways that they can look good. And I personally think Chuck Grassley's doing a crap job. I would like to see him actually hold the same standards that he holds to Democratic nominees as he holds to Republican nominees, and he's not even anywhere close. So his inconsistency is glaring.
Way, because I am interested in hearing that view. I think he's trying to hear all sides, but in what way being unfair?
I think that if this was an Obama nominee and that first nomination came on out, he would basically say, we're going to put forward an immediate investigation. I'm calling the FBI. I'm going to have a full investigation. I want any person that saw this or heard of this, I want them in front of my committee. We'll give every one of them time. And right now, he's giving her about an hour tomorrow, Kavanaugh chance to rebuttal, and they've got a vote planned for Friday. So there's a definitive lack of consistency. We got to take a break, though.
When we come on back here,
we got to try to get to Rosenstein tomorrow, too. Jeff Stein joining us right now. We'll talk about the Assistant Attorney General possibly getting canned tomorrow as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Lots of good things come in threes, like three-pointers, a triple scoop ice cream cone, and Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale. Just install a new furnace and AC this September and you'll triple your savings to the tune of $2,700. That's right. Get rebates and other discounts for a total of $2,700 in savings. Learn more about Standard's triple savings sale at standardheatingdeals.com. That's standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, two final quick points. We've got about a minute total on each one of these. First of all, your thoughts on the Senate Judiciary Committee themselves not questioning Dr. Ford, but bringing in this prosecutor out of Arizona to do it for them.
As I recall, there had been a request by Dr. Ford's lawyers saying that they did not want the senators, or there was something about old white guy senators who are badgering this woman. And so I think the Senate could do just fine, but I also think this was an appointment that was made to some degree because that had been kicked around on the left. But, I mean, we elect these people to do a job, do the job.
I agree with that one. 54% of Republicans, 54% of Republicans state even if all the allegations are true, they would still like to see him on the Supreme Court. This is a mess for the Republicans as you're running into November.
Well, sure it is. And that's why I said you have to hear the allegations and determine if, in fact, he was involved. Can you chalk it up to, and the phrase that people use is youthful indiscretion. Well, assaulting another person is not an indiscretion. But the idea is if that all happened during a compressed period of time and he has been clear, if you will, since then, is it a disqualifier? I think you get one, maybe you can get around it. Three? And each one of these allegations is, to me, more severe. I don't know how. I don't know how you can go with it.
The Rod Rosenstein meets with Trump tomorrow, and the expectation is he's either resigning or he's fired tomorrow. You're more legal knowledge than I am. It sounded like he was trying to resign, or at least the option of resigning. If he resigns, they can't call him to testify against Trump. But it almost sounds like Trump wants to fire him to be the tough guy, which would then set him up for Rod Rosenstein to be called to testify against him. What's your thoughts on that whole thing?
Interesting. Rosenstein apparently called the meeting. for tomorrow. Now, I don't know the telephone call. I guess Rosenstein was called to the White House by the chief of staff, John Kelly. Then the president got involved by telephone, and Rosenstein asked to meet. Now, I find it interesting that it's on Thursday, because if Trump wants to fire him, he's doing it competing with Kavanaugh in the headlines. When has this president ever done something in order to knock something off the front page? Oh, wait, multiple times. Okay, and so that's why I think Rosenstein is saying, well, you know what? I'll just quit. I mean, it's a decent thing to do to offer your resignation if, in fact, you feel that you no longer have the president's confidence, et cetera, et cetera. But there might be something about this president who literally wants to reenact a scene from The Apprentice.
Well, is Rosenstein correct that if he gets fired versus resigned, that basically he can they can force him to testify if he gets fired?
Like, my view is they can force him to testify regardless. If he's an employee of the department, then there are certain confidentiality things that he's bound by. But when he's no longer an employee, that was why the Strzok and Page hearings were so different. She was no longer an employee. She no longer had the protection of the department.
He is going to start a cyclone of sewage tomorrow, because that's what he does. He basically lights the sky on fire and then hides in the flames. And that's who he is.
Can you make T-shirts with that? Cyclone of sewage.
I like that, too.
In a lot of places you've lived.
Jeff Stein, once again, books and comic good books, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org. Thank you, Jeff. We'll spotlight this one. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Bless you, gentlemen. See ya.
Take care. Doug's up next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.